This is a Life School Podcast, episode number 200. Are you on fire because you've been washed in the blood? Today, we're going to talk about being more intentional with the words that we use when we talk about our faith. Welcome to the Life School Podcast, where each week you'll learn how to live with greater intentionality and an integrated faith that naturally fits into every area of life. This is the stuff that your parents, teachers, and pastors forgot to tell you. I'm Heath Hollinsby, here with your host, Caesar Kalinowski.
Wow, Heath. How are you doing, my brother?
I'm good, man. You look like you may have some jet lag.
A little bit. Just got back from Finland. We talked, I think, last episode about how cold it was here. Not really. You know, it's Pacific Northwest. Let me just tell you, Finland. Cold. Wow. Baltic Sea in January.
Just wind whipping.
Yeah. Wouldn't recommend it. Had a wonderful time with
good.
Amazing people, but it's just cold. There's no like, hey, Indian summer. No.
Not happening.
Not even
it's
in the
always
summer.
Cold.
No. Hey, here's something exciting.
Okay.
This is, ready for it, drum roll, our 100th episode of Life School.
100 episodes of consistent every Monday releasing.
Yeah,
this
so we've not blown it yet.
How
so
fun.
It's episode 200. People are like, "How's that possible? It's only your 100th episode." Well, we started at 100,
yeah,
or 101, because it was our first year, episode one.
Yep,
and we're just finishing up season two. Soon it's going to go to 3.
Man,
right? So here you go. It's 100 episodes, brother. Congratulations!
Congratulations!
Shake your hand over
Done.
The table.
Hello.
Here.
Yeah, there was only one time. I don't think our listeners. There's only one time that we almost didn't make it. And it was a couple months back,
we had that huge fight, you and I?
Yeah, huge fight. Throwing things, I broke you slammed your car. No, do you remember that we had recorded and we had to get it to the team that puts this out on social media? And we recorded on a Thursday night, and I got home and there was no audio on that track that
and
was
we had
due.
To redo it.
So I had to drive back over that evening, and it was like already 10 at night. I had to stay up till... Well,
yeah,
in the midnight.
That's right. We almost just had to do a repeat.
Yep.
A
but we didn't. We did it. Devotion.
Episode of Lucy or, you know, Brady Bunch or something.
Yeah, just play.
They're about the right length of time. Just audio episode of Brady Bunch or something.
You know, one of the things that we love that makes it really worth it is hearing back from the people that listen to the show saying it's been really impactful. I mean, the emails we get, the Facebook messages, the reviews that people leave on iTunes. And if you haven't,
love it.
That's a way you can celebrate our birthday with us by writing a review on iTunes. We have a review that came in from W_Reichert, and he says, "My wife and I have been trying to live a kingdom lifestyle, and although we're having a tough time finding others willing to join us, this podcast gives us hope and encouragement to keep searching for other people of peace. Thank you for preaching. It's important week after week."
Great. Are we preaching?
I don't know.
All right, W. Thank the you.
The encouragement would be, though,
thank
I mean,
you, brother.
I think anyone who kind of starts heading in this direction, it's difficult to find people willing to join you.
I've had those conversations this week with people.
Yeah.
Like, are we doing this wrong or where are we at? I mean, stay the course now, and they're doing great, and they really are. It's just, Jesus said it, hey, the road is narrow.
Yep.
The people are going to actually live this life now.
It's rare.
Instead of just kind of waiting around for heaven or something. Yeah.
Yeah. So keep pressing on, W_Reichert.
Yep.
Okay, today we're talking about weird phrases that we and Christians typically use to describe
our faith. Yeah, it's a little more lighthearted, but it's kind of serious, to be honest with you.
Sure.
Because if we, in fact, possess the keys to the kingdom of God and, you know, and this good news of God, who God is and what he's done in and through his son and what's now true of us needs to be communicated in some way. If we use a bunch of goofy, weird language, no one understands it, then we blame it on like, oh, people are just rejectors.
Yeah, exactly. No, you're
maybe,
speaking like a fool.
Yeah. Could it be?
All right. So for the sake of our uninitiated listeners who claim that they don't know any Christianese or exactly what it is, and because it's kind of funny, explain what Christianese is and give us a couple examples?
Okay. Well, it seems that many of us are kind of bilingual, in our life as Christians. We speak, you know, a normal everyday language most of the time, sort of, you know, like for us, it's be English. For others, it might be another language. But, you know, but then when it comes time to talk about religion or spirituality, God, Jesus, or the church, we break out this special Christianese language. It's like a whole other thing. We use words and phrases like sanctified and, like you said in the opener, you know, washed in the blood and on fire and filled with the Spirit, you know.
Yeah.
Jesus in your heart, you know, a whole list of other terms gleaned from years and years of, I don't know, singing praise tunes or something, you know,
worship music.
Like, it's fair in a song, you know what I mean? But
sure.
Then,
We didn't realize.
So I think partly this comes from hearing other Christians talk this way.
Okay.
Some of it comes from the fact that most sermons we've heard use a lot of this special language.
Hmm.
But if we want to tell our stories in ways that others who have not learned this unusual dialect can relate to and connect with, and it's important that they do, then we need to retrain ourselves to proclaim the gospel, proclaim this good news of who God is and what he's done in Christ, using language that actually communicates good news to the listener.
Yep.
So Christianese is sometimes it's actually a biblical word, but like no one would ever use it nowadays. And so we have to give it meaning. Usually it's sort of a made up language that Christians have been taught and now use a lot.
Sure.
Okay. So some of it's like, well, we can recapture biblical language. Absolutely we can. But, you know, appropriately as a person's ready. Just like, you know, I have 2-year-old grandson and 1-year-old grandson. I don't use certain words. They're real words. I just don't use them with them yet because they're not,
your crowd.
Okay. So some of this Christianese is pretty weird. Most of it's unnecessarily confusing, I'll be honest with you.
Yeah.
And it certainly is a put off to those who don't know this very special language. So here are some common ones. There's a lot, and I'll bet if you're listening right now, you've heard all of these before.
Yeah, or actually maybe even used them yourself. Yeah.
And you probably would say, oh, you missed this one. So yeah, I'm going to miss a lot. I'm going to give you just like 10. Okay?
Okay.
Here's my top 10, not necessarily in particular order, but kind of, okay.
Sure.
And I should just do them in reverse, but I don't know. Here's 10 and you'll have your own. In fact, why don't you hit us up on Facebook group and tell us all the ones we forgot.
Okay. Yeah, that'd be fun.
Like seriously. And how you use it. Put it in context. All right. First one's fellowship.
Mm.
Okay. Only Christians really call hanging out fellowshipping. I had a buddy of mine who used to call it belly ship. Because well, we always eat, so let's just call it what it is. It's belly ship.
Sure.
Yeah,
yeah.
But people outside the church may think you're referring to like a work program, like a fellowship, you know, or some sort of a job fair or something.
Yeah, it is a little weird.
It's a little weird.
Commune-y.
Fellowship. Like people say, like, what are you fellowshipping? Like, I don't know. You're having a beer. I don't know. You know? traveling mercies. There's another one. Like, what's a traveling mercy? You know, no one outside the church would ever say that.
Yeah, right.
Hey, man, what are you guys doing? Oh, we're going to Finland. What, for work? Oh, for work. Well, traveling mercies, brother. Yeah. Like, you know,
weird.
Who made that up? They would just say, have a safe trip. Parallel to traveling mercies for me, and this is kind of a bonus one. It's not even on the list here today, is that bless the hands that prepared it when you pray for food.
Oh, yeah.
Like, what's that? You know, that's like I heard once said, like saying, hey, God, and bless the hands that cut my hair today. It's like, what? Just say thanks because my wife can cook and she took time to do it again, or my sister or my brother here in
thank
community.
You. Yeah.
Yeah. Just say thanks, you know. Here's another one. Quiet time.
Oh, yeah. Forgot about that.
Quiet
one.
Time. That sounds like time out to me. You know, like you put your kids in quiet time. Like that's punishment.
Yeah, I'm going to have quiet time.
I don't dig it, you know. It doesn't exist in the Bible anywhere, okay? and people say, like, did you have your quiet time? Don't forget your quiet time. And it goes anyway. It's kind of crazy. Born again. That's another, that's a biblical one, and actually one I love. I'm bummed that it got so screwed over.
Sure.
Because it requires an explanation, just like it did for Nicodemus.
Hmm.
And, you know, in his response, right, in scripture, like, you must be born again to enter the kingdom.
How does that happen?
Someone would climb back up inside their mother. The visual is just brutal, right?
Yeah.
So saying, you know, like one of those born againers, you know, washing the bloods, you know, it's like, oh boy.
Yeah.
Okay. Anointed. Huh? Where would a person ever hear this word outside of Christian circles? You know,
it's really anointed, man.
How's that work, man? Like, dude, you did a freaking great job on setting up that, you know, that screen, that display, whatever. It's like, pretty anointed, you know.
Yeah, talented, maybe.
Simply just trying to say a person's usually good at what they do, or they have a God-given ability, or that's, man, you're really talented at that. So I don't know. We just here's one. It's just a hedge of protection.
Oh, God, that's my worst. That's the worst for me.
You know, I know it's scriptural, right? You know, it comes from the book of Job, okay? But wasn't it Satan who actually used the phrase? Why would we want to pray it, you know?
We're
and is a hedge
Satan's
enough?
Prayers.
Like, if really, like Satan, you know, like the head of all demons and the most beautiful of all angels, but fallen leader of, you know, demonic realm is attacking me, I want more than a hedge.
Yeah.
You know, like, I want
push.
A freaking wall. I know it's not politically correct to say a wall anymore, you know, but, like, anyway, that's a weird one.
Oh, man.
Here's one, the word the gospel.
Huh.
As in, you know, people say, like, well, they haven't heard the gospel, or... Doesn't that mean they haven't, you know, are they thinking like the Gospels?
Mm.
Do they think we're talking about Aretha Franklin song or some sort of a genre of music? You'd be surprised. I'm not even joking. When we talk about like, people say, well, I know you're a Christian, and even Christians will say it, like, what do you do? Like, well, I help people understand how the gospel fits into all of life. They're like, what do you mean by that? Like music? You know, it's the weirdest. So we have to be careful there again. It's Christianese if people don't understand it, even if it's a biblical word.
Sure.
We don't use it even like the good news. We use it, I don't know, like a presentational green booklet or something. Anyway, here's one. Now I'm getting down to my really like, ooh, invite Jesus into your heart.
Ugh.
Again, it's, you know, I understand what it means and people say it, but like you'll never catch Jesus saying, hey, by the way, guys, after you drag those nets in, yeah, would you invite me into your heart? It's just, it's not scriptural at all. Okay. And it totally fails to communicate the fact that a life devoted to Jesus is surrender. Mm. You know, it's like a laying down and a picking up. It's not inviting him into your heart. I think they must've come up with that for kids or something, huh?
It has to be
originally.
That's a little awkward.
Invite me into your heart. What's that mean? I don't even know how to explain that. Yeah. I would have an easier time explaining the Trinity or, you know, lapsarianism or something. Anyway, it's just goofy. Don't use that word in public either.
Okay.
Here's one, the sinner's prayer, like, or the prayer. Did you lead him in the sinner's prayer?
Oh yeah.
Like who's not a sinner in one sense, but then that's not our identity. It's just weird.
Yeah, you can find
or the prayer of salvation. It's not biblical, you know.
Hmm.
You know, and I know that God reaches everybody in different ways. And I grew up in a form of, you know, evangelical church and all that helped me understand who God was. And they probably led me in the sinner's prayer or something, you know?
Yeah.
But, wow.
It's a little wild.
It's a little crazy. Jesus never did it. It's not what gets you saved. I don't know. I mean, I know that's going to offend some people, but there are other guys way more important and bigger authors and preachers than us that say, like, quit doing that.
Yep.
Like, that's not how any, you know. And then here, probably, it's a 2 for 10, ding-a-ding, you know. Okay. Washed in the blood, or washed by the blood, or saved by the blood of the Lamb. Awesome. Could anything sound more like a cult? You know what I mean?
Nothing.
Like, yeah, you know, you're in the neighbors. Literally, man, I actually, people say like, but who really says that? Listen, man, we've told the stories before of doing the story of God at the cafe in the community.
Yep.
And I'm not kidding you, man. Like, even though you know, you just hope for the best. Mostly it was my neighbors and just people that hung out at this cafe and were doing the story of God. It was very, very cool. And we're very careful with our language and all. But there was some Christians that sniffed us out. They wanted to come see what it looked like to actually be and talk about stuff
normal
spiritually without being weird. And someone asked a question and literally a Christian said, well, all I know is I've been washed in the blood. So therefore got into other Christianese right after that. It was like, wow. Like it was like so gross and weird.
I'd rather you say he drank the Kool-Aid.
I had to uninvite that person to never come back. Like I want to invite you to never come back. So, yeah,
seriously.
It's just, it was so really now, like we're just talking, we're at a, yeah.
Yeah, it's so gross, man.
So there's a lot of it though. And I hope people are getting the point where like, we're picking on your favorite, you know, like, well, sure. I like praying about, you know, blessing the hands that prepare, you know, why don't you just thank the person? How about that? You know,
thank you.
But,
So, as you're saying this, I'm like, man, I know that I've been guilty of using a bunch of these. I'm sure that you have, not even intentionally, just saying it, you know, like,
I have others that I'm more guilty of.
And maybe a lot of our listeners.
I've had this list in my pocket folded up. Just never say this, never say this.
I don't do it. Like a zapper when it happens. Does speaking this language.
Maybe my Apple Watch could just like, if you even get close to saying
jolt
it.
Jolt you.
You know, the haptics just go nuts.
Are you washed in the.
Yeah. Don't even get it out there.
Do you think that the Christianese is actually a sign that we're more removed from our culture than we even dare to think in the first place?
Yeah, maybe. I mean, removed. I mean, we're in it, but
like the insider language, we just start talking a certain way and not.
Yeah, I think so. I think maybe some of it has. Let me give you an analogy, okay?
Okay.
If you learned all that you knew about the Bible and your faith and Jesus, let's say you learned it in French, okay?
Right.
For whatever reason, that's just, you know, you went to a church growing up and it spoke French, you know? And so you really did. You got it. You came to faith. You understood your faith and all biblical terms and all this, but in French. But now you live somewhere that's a Spanish-speaking culture, right?
Hmm.
It would be really pretty pointless to try and speak to people or witness. There's another one, by the way.
You know,
or explain things about Jesus and the cross and our faith in French to people who speak only Spanish.
Hmm.
They'd look at you like you're crazy. And, you know, we need to know and learn the language of the culture, like you're saying. But guess what? You already do know the language of your culture. It comes back to what I was saying earlier, that whole, like, somehow we've become bilingual. We really don't know how to talk about our faith in normal language because what we've mostly heard has been full of Christianese and sort of theo terms from seminary and from Bible study programs, and the pastors cut and paste all that stuff together, you know.
Sure.
And so we learned our faith in French, but we're living in a Spanish-speaking culture.
Hmm.
And we speak Spanish, but I don't know how to talk about it.
Yeah.
In Spanish. So I'll go ahead. I guess I'll just either do one of two things. I'll speak in French, washed in the blood. How do you say that in French? I don't know. Someone will write that in on our Facebook group. Or we'll just say nothing.
Yeah, we just don't go there at all.
Okay. And I think sometimes it might be better to not say anything, but some of it's just laziness. Like we use these crazy Christianese terms and we don't stop and think about what is the listener actually hearing and able to understand. So I think we understand the language of our culture. I think what we've never been able to do is step out and hear how weird it sounds. So maybe if nothing else today, just hearing us go down that list and kind of poke fun a little bit, have a little bit of fun with it. We'll see how weird that sounds.
Yeah. Maybe somebody grabs it. Yeah.
Yeah. Like just listen, think about what like you hear at work and no one is all that crazy stuff.
Well, you know, and I don't see throughout scripture many examples of Jesus speaking in code. Like seem like he has his own weird language that he.
Yeah. It's interesting. He does and he doesn't. Okay. But let's look at that a little bit. In Matthew 13, 34, it says, Jesus spoke all these things to the crowd in parables. He did not say anything to them without using a parable. Hmm. Now, it's interesting because what are parables? Parables are little short stories that use common everyday situations and language that make a huge point that kind of stick to you. Like you just, I can't shake that. I'm thinking about it. There's great implication here. Jesus spoke in parables so he could be as simple and clear and memorable as possible.
Hmm.
But it also goes on in scripture. I think it's in Matthew as well, that says that the disciples understood some of these parables, but some of them kind of remained a mystery to him. Hmm. And he had to take them aside and unpack them later. But that's key. He did.
Yeah.
And part of what they didn't understand wasn't the language.
Okay.
It was like, okay, what are you getting at? And that's what he talked about. For those who have ears, they'll hear it. Let them hear.
Hmm.
Like, you know, the kingdom of God is like a precious pearl.
Sure.
You know, it's worth giving everything you have for it. Now, that's common language, and they lived in they lived where there was a lot of trade going on and all kinds of stuff happening. And they would understand all those words, but they might not have gone like, why do I want a pearl? Hmm. You see what I mean? So then he explains it to them. So,
nuanced,
he always used common everyday situations and languages and made it make sense to people. And I just really love the way he also used it to be so, so salty that sometimes they go like, we don't get it. You know, it wasn't because they didn't get the language. They just, they were like, what are you unpacking here?
Hmm.
Wouldn't you love to have that where you talked in such a way that people understood the words you meant, but they go, whoa, tell me what do you mean by that? What's going on there?
Yeah.
Wouldn't that be great?
That'd be cool. Yeah.
That's what the Bible talks about being salt. Hmm. And like saltiness, like, oh, I got to have more. Like, I can't just eat one chip. You know, I can't just eat one.
I remember the first missional community when we moved to Tacoma. We were actually in Jeff and Janie Vanderstelt's missional community. And I remember one night he kind of called people out for, you know, some newer Christians. And he said, hey, we're not going to talk in these terms anymore. And ever since then, I've been on this kind of hunt to get rid of all Christianese in my life and to actually become more gospel fluent, which is something you actually talk a lot about. Do you care to unpack that for us?
Yeah, well, I have to say right up front that gospel fluent and gospel fluency.
Just another insider.
It's an insider term. So I don't use it. I'm not going to use it with not yet believers.
Sure.
Okay? I'm just not. And even as I use it with Christians, I always explain it because they don't understand. They understand what fluent means or fluency means. They generally don't know what the two words mean together. So it's kind of it's Christianese. Okay. So don't use that term with your not believing friends. You don't have to always use the word gospel as a verb, you know, like I'm going to gospel your heart right now. Like they don't know what that means. Christians are otherwise. Okay. But we use this term gospel fluency because it's the word fluency applies to a language, right? To be fluent in a language means I can speak it effectively.
Yep.
In other words, where it's understood. To be fluent is you're understood. I've used this example many times. It's in my book, Bigger Gospel, where I talk about I can speak a little bit of Czech.
Sure.
But I can't really do whole sentences very much. And so I kind of sound like a caveman. I'm not fluent by any stretch. My son is actually 100% fluent in Czech. Isn't it weird?
Wow.
Yeah, he lived over there. But I am not fluent in it, meaning I can't be easily understood with nuance and meaning. Well, that's the case for many of us as Christians as well. We're not very fluent in the good news of the gospel or the good news of the kingdom.
Hmm.
And so we lean on a bunch of Christianese terms that don't really have the meaning that scripture wants them to have, or we use scriptural terms that people don't use anymore.
Right.
And we don't have to. There's no like, oh God, you know, you're not, he's not going to love you, or you're not a really good Christian if you don't use Bible terms. It's like, listen, let me point out something a lot of people have never seen before.
Okay.
When you look at either Paul quoting like the prophets, mm-hmm. You know, Old Testament stuff, right? Or Jesus doing the same. It's not usually word for word.
Sure.
It's usually a paraphrase because he's making it relevant now, hundreds of, or thousands of years later.
Yeah.
Right? Or you'll see a little reference in your Bible where it's like not even close, but it'll be a reference. It's like, that's what he's talking about, but he's just making it make sense now because this just happened, right?
Right.
And so this idea of learning to be fluent in the good news is a big deal. And you can. You can actually learn how to be fluent where the way you talk about your faith is salty. The way when you speak to someone's pain or their hopes or they're pissed off or they're angry about something or they're really excited about something and they just don't even know who to give credit to. There's ways to speak good news. In other words, be fluent in the gospel or fluent in the good news, like to give God glory, to give him credit.
Sure.
To show people that, no, that's just God at work here. And that's what he intended all along. And now you're starting to experience that.
Hmm.
So we get to, you know, we get to learn to speak that way. Instead of just sort of like, well, we'll always sort of use our French in our Spanish-speaking culture.
Exactly, right?
Yeah.
So what would you say are some good steps to people that want to begin creating this gospel fluency, not just in themselves or in their families, but their missional communities and all of life? So that it.
All right, so I got to point to some tools, right? Okay. I just got to point to some tools. For one is, I'm going to say, regardless of these tools, you have to practice a language in order to become fluent in it. You do. You just have to. I can remember when these things started changing for us and some of the other leaders within Soma communities, and we were like, we have to start speaking this stuff. It sounds a little awkward. It sounds different to ask certain questions in different ways. Not because the language was so weird. We just weren't used to it. We were still so under the pile of do to be, and we had to start giving each other permission to kind of like, me, suck at your check. Just keep practicing
just
it. Keep practicing it. So, for instance, when we'd be, you know, having a, you know, a leadership meeting, a team meeting about something, you could see someone getting really, really heated. You'd say, stop just a second. I don't know how exactly I want to ask this, but I want to ask you, what are you not believing to be true about God and or your brother right now? Can we talk about that a little bit? Can we just look at, like, what are you thinking? Is he anti you? No, he's not against me. Is he trying to? No, not that. Do you believe God is aware? Yeah, absolutely. Okay. So we would unpack it, and then it would get kind of fixed in light of the gospel, what's true of God and what's not true of us.
Right.
So you have to practice it, and you're not gonna be very good at it at first. Just if you've ever learned another language beyond your first language, you realize, man, you just got to suck forward.
Sure.
Okay. That's okay. Part of how you do that is you do that in community. So you don't say, well, I'm going to get on a soapbox and I'm going to get a bullhorn. I'm going downtown and that's how I want to practice.
Yeah, right.
Please don't. Okay. So tool wise, okay. Gospel Primer. You've heard us talk about this before. There's a book called The Gospel Primer. It's 8 weeks to transformation in community. And what it does is it kind of walks everybody at the same time for 8 weeks. You have a little thing you read and journal about every day. There's an action day during the week. There's a community day during the week. And holy cow.
We've done it in our mission. It's been amazing.
Amazing. It will teach you the language of the gospel. Now, you still got to practice it. That's why I started there. But man, it's crazy. In the show notes, I will give you a link to a post that really explains exactly what it is and how to use it. And it'll even, you can download like a sample week one.
Yep.
And then I think it even, the publisher who gives us that sample week, Missio, they even give you like a coupon, like code or something, so you can even get them cheap. So pretty good deal,
right?
Yeah. And then about a year ago, I wrote a book called Bigger Gospel. And the whole idea was like, hey, what do we have to unlearn? Some of it has to do with language. And what is really true of the gospel? And how do we begin to see the thing behind the thing and speak good news into every area of life? And I actually, there again in the show notes, because the link's just too long, I will give you a free copy of Bigger Gospel. It's a full book. It's not like a digital, I mean, a print version. I will mail it to you if you'll just pick up the shipping cost. So there's a form. It'll tell you all about the book, and all you have to do is pick up the shipping. Fair enough, right? I'll pay to print it. I wrote it. You know, took the time. So those two tools, I don't really know of anything more used right sure. now, right? And there's additional training, but that's further down the road when you want to fine tune your language, right? There's, you know, we have a bigger gospel masterclass and there's things down the road. But right now I'd say check out a gospel primer. You yep. can get the free first week and check that out. Or you can get a free copy of Bigger Gospel. I'll mail it out to you. All right.
We're just giving away a bunch of free stuff. I have something else we're going to give away. The Big Three. How's that?
Big Three. Yep. The download.
Yeah, you get the free download. It's a written download. So if you want to get it for free, all you have to do is go to 123lifeschool.com/big3. And that's in case you're busy right now or you're driving or you're on the treadmill. We've written it down for you so you don't have to write it down as you listen. Again, you get that by going to 123lifeschool.com/big3. Caesar, what are the big three for this week?
Here's the big three things don't miss. If you, you know, if you're not paying attention the whole episode, don't miss these. And if you want them written down, yeah, do what Heath said.
Boom.
First one. The Bible in our Christian faith is all relevant.
Yep.
It is. It's you don't have to make it relevant. It is relevant. Unless we shroud everything in insider language in weird terms that others can't understand or it puts them off.
Sure.
Jesus spoke in everyday language and parables and story because he saw his relationship with his Father and ours as a normal part of his life as a human.
Hmm.
And we can learn to put aside our cultural oddities as Christians, as Christian-y stuff, and we can learn to speak like Jesus spoke. Normal, everyday life. It works. It fits. Okay.
Yeah.
It is relevant. You don't have to make it relevant. Just don't make it irrelevant. Okay. Second yeah. thing, everyone you've ever met is looking for truth and good news for their life. Like, I don't know anybody who's like, I got too much good news. I can't handle it. There's too much good stuff.
Too much for me.
Right? Everyone's looking for truth and good news. Don't be deceived by Satan or your past bad experiences and poor attempts of maybe trying to share your faith or whatever, or fear of man and what others think of you. Learning to share the story of God, what God's like, what is true of us as humans now because of Christ, who what God thinks is of us, all of that, how to become a Christian, how to find salvation and restoration. It's all super important, and people are really dying to know it. Remember, Romans 1:16, this is a message version. I love it. It says, this is news I'm most proud to proclaim. This extraordinary message of God's powerful plan to rescue everyone who trusts him, starting with the Jews, and then right on down to everyone else. People need to hear it. It's that important. It's extraordinary,
yeah.
Okay? And they really do. So I find so many people are like, no one wants to hear this. No, they don't want to hear your weird Christianese stuff and do to be and yep. shoulds and shoulding all over. You know, they, no, yeah, okay?
They don't want that.
Third thing is you can grow in your ability to speak the good news of Jesus and into, you know, into everyone's life and your life with him. You really can learn to explain that in ways that people are like, wow, that's super interesting.
Yeah.
Get the resources you need. Get started. It's like anything else. And nothing is more important in your life and worthy of a small investment of your time and or, you know, if you want to get a book or the, pay the ship, whatever. It'll change your heart and it'll give you the confidence you need to really effectively talk about spiritual things and about the gospel, about your faith without getting nervous or coming off like some crazy washed in the blood person.
And then, we're also going to include the links, right, for the gospel primer that you talked about and the bigger gospel as well.
Yeah, how to get that free. Yep, all that. We'll put it all there. It'll be in the big three, and it'll also be on the show notes.
And again, you get the copy of the big three by going to 123lifeschool.com/big3.
Yep.
We'd like to thank you for joining us today.
Thanks for being here.
Yeah, it's been fun. If you haven't yet, again, reviewed us on iTunes, it'd be a great time to do it, our 100th episode. Just go to iTunes, give us a couple star review, hopefully 5. Write a review that what you love about the show, and that helps us get the show out.
Doesn't have to be some long thing.
No.
And it's really drop lots of Christianese in there so that people scrolling through iTunes get super confused. Like, what's the show about? I have no idea.
And like fashion, we're going to continue next Monday releasing even another
I just want to thank the hands that have edited the podcast.
Oh, yeah. Blessings to
thank
them.
Thank God for the blessings of the hands. Those are yours. Those are your hands.
Bless these hands. Hey, next week we're going to talk about how to determine who you should lead a missional community with and what to do when there's disagreement or conflict in your leadership team. So we'll dive into that.
Not that it ever happens, but just in case.
It's a cakewalk, right?
It's the cake.
Until then, we wish you traveling mercies and a hedge of protection over your family. Thanks for joining us today. We'll catch you next time. For more information, you can visit 123lifeschool.com/podcast.